Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Jo Brandt here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you to Just a Minute. And for this recording, to welcome our audience who are joining us via the power of the internet from living rooms and bedrooms all around the country. Let's hope no one's ventured into a teenager's bedroom for this, or we'll never see them again. I'll also introduce the four brilliant players who are joining me this week. They are Tony Hawkes, Julian Clary, Shappi Korsandi and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. If you've heard the show before, and I think you might have, you'll know I'll be asking them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Sounds easy? Well, it would be for me if every topic was entitled A Row About the Hoovering. I can actually do just an hour on that. Anyway, what's all the fuss? Let's see how they do. OK, we turn first to you, Tony Hawkes. The subject on the card is gobstoppers. Not the greatest accessory for speaking for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on gobstoppers, but have a go. Your time starts now.
These were very popular sweets as I was growing up. I could never really understand why. They didn't taste very nice. Too large, in my opinion. If you bit on them, you could break your jaw. I don't know why people like...
And that's Shappi who's buzzed there. Yes, Shappi?
Tony, we're the same generation and you're thinking of jaw breakers that broke your jaw.
Yes. Aren't they the same thing?
No. Jawbreakers are a different thing and you've got them muddled up.
Depending on how strong or weak your jaw is.
I'm looking forward to Jo ruling on this one.
And also, jawbreakers were the ones that were big. Gobstoppers were very easy to suck, very easy.
Oh, there was a bigger gobstopper that really
The jawbreaker.
No. The jawbreaker was indeed the jawbreaker. It's a perfectly valid challenge. But the gobstopper had a kind of size to it.
Can I just interrupt and say this programme's not called Chats About Gobstoppers.
People will be thinking they've tuned into the Today programme by mistake.
Absolutely. So I will, Shappi, give you the benefit of the doubt and I will let you carry on with whatever they're called. You have 44 seconds on gobstoppers, starting now.
It was always a great treat to be able to have a gobstoppers. I have a brother who's the same age as me and the game was to suck mine slowly.
And Giles, that was you who buzzed.
I think more correctly you have a twin if he's the same age as you. If he's just a brother who's the same age, he is her twin.
You can call a twin a brother, can't you?
Yes, I was just... attention to detail is so important now.
Yeah, I think so, Giles.
I don't think... they could have been born 9 months apart. What's the problem with that? And they could be...
Well, were they? Let's get...
I'll ask him when I get home.
I've given you the benefit of the doubt once, Shappi. I think Giles does have a point. Oh. So, 1 point to you, Giles, and you have 36 seconds on gobstoppers.
Some people will know that I went to school with Ed Balls's aunt by name Ophelia. She was a lovely girl and we used to share gobstoppers. I popped one in my mouth and when it colour changed, because that was the joy of gobstoppers, layer after layer of different pigmentation...
Tony, you challenged.
Repetition of layer, layer after layer.
Well done, Tony. So, you get the gobstopper challenge and you have 19 seconds left. Starting now.
The best thing about them is that they're quite good for making an adequate impression of Janet Street Porter. If you pop them in...
And that's Julian who challenged there.
There's a repetition of them. Get out of that.
There's a general sort of rumble in the audience.
I know, but...
We do tend to let people get away with...
Oh, but Joe, I've hardly spoken yet. Have a heart.
Oh,
I'm a poor...
shall I have a heart? And Tony has spoken quite a lot.
Yeah, let's hear from Julian. Yes. I think I didn't really have much to say.
Okay, yes, Julian. All right, then. So, a point to you for interrupting. And 12 seconds on Gobstoppers. Starting now.
Nothing beats the feeling of your cheeks bulging on a Friday night with Gobstoppers, one on each side as the sweet stickiness drips down the back of your throat.
So, Julian was speaking there as a whistle went. For that, Julian, you get a point.
Lovely, thank you.
So, well done you. And we move on, and Shappy, let's see what the cards have in store for you. Okay, it is Dame Judi Dench. Ah, national treasure. What can you tell us about Dame Judi? Your time starts now.
Dame Judi Dench is indeed a national treasure. She's a wonderful actor and not to be confused with Dame Shirley Bassey or any other kind of dame. My favourite work of Dame Judi Dench was this summer, in fact, her TikToks on the internet that she performed so beautifully, Oscar-worthy, with her grandson, where Dame Judi Dench learned amusing songs and dances and did them as is the tradition in this particular app that is on the World Wide Web that you can access. Dame Judi Dench was also in a wonderful film called Mrs. Brown, and there was a spin-off sitcom about Mrs. Brown and
Well, I didn't want to stop her because it was so informative. I'll never mix up Dame Judi Dench and Dame Shirley Bassey again. But there was a repetition of Mrs. Brown.
There was, yes.
Very good, though. Well done. You kept going for ages.
I did.
You only had 15 seconds left. So a point goes to you, Tony, and you have 15 seconds left on Dame Judi Dench.
In the James Bond film, she originally auditioned for the part of G. M was already earmarked for Jo Brand. And in...
that was Giles challenging there.
This is so absurd. You can't tell stories about a national treasure, trivialising them
in
this way.
I think Joe will confirm that she was earmarked for the part.
No.
I will confirm I'm actually a national disgrace, rather.
You would never have been replaced. If you had been earmarked for it, you would have taken the role and would have been superb. So it's just completely wrong to say Joe was earmarked for it and then it was given to Dame Judi Dench. How ridiculous.
Well,
I
look forward
play...
to seeing how Joe rules on this, Giles. Yeah. I look forward to it. Yeah, let's find out now.
All right, let's find out. How do you...
How do I rule? Well, I think probably I'll give it to Shappy or Julia. So, yes, I think I'm going to pass it across.
It is a deviation, you see, because it isn't true.
I made it up. I made it up to try and be amusing. Well, you know. Never trying that again.
Oh, well, good effort, Tony. Yeah. Good effort. OK, so that's a point to you, Giles. And you have, Giles, you have 6 seconds to fill on Dame Judi Dench. Starting now.
I first saw Judi Dench appearing as Juliet in a production of the play about Romeo and his lover at the Old Vic in 1961.
Giles was speaking when the whistle went there. So, a point to you, Giles. And we now actually move on to you, Giles. I would like you to talk about the argument I should have won. Tell us all without hesitation, deviation or repetition in 60 seconds starting now.
The argument I should have won was with the electorate at the general election in 1997. I was clearly the candidate the people needed, but they thought otherwise. Outside our house, I wanted to see a sign saying Vote Brandreth. Instead, there was one with the words For Sale, put up by my wife. I tried to argue with her, but I lost. I should have won that particular debate, because, of course, I was what the nation was.
That's Tony buzzing in
there. I think there was a slight hesitation there, but also it's not really, it's deviation as well, because it wasn't an argument, it was in fact an election.
And I lost the argument. I put my case, they disagreed. I lost the argument.
Giles,
I should have won it.
Giles, they didn't even notice it was an argument.
He's absolutely right, you know. Yes, they say you shouldn't take it personally, but when 182,000 people get up on the same day with the self-same object in mind, you do feel a little bit...
How long ago was this, Giles?
I'm still brooding, all right. It was a long time ago, probably before you were born, but nonetheless, it is the argument I should have won. Think how different the country
yes,
would be.
Yes, but Parliament's think loss is just a minute's gain.
So that's a point for you, Tony.
Thank you.
And you have 28 seconds to fill on the argument I should have won, starting now.
The argument I should have won was about Joe Brand being up for the part of M.
And that is Shappy buzzing in there.
My challenge is you're just bringing back a world of pain.
Already been through. Joe was never up for that part. We established that.
It was an argument I felt I should have won regardless.
No, you shouldn't have won it.
I only need to feel whether I should have won it. I don't need to have had a good case. I only need to feel that I should have won it. And I feel I should have won it.
I quite like Shappy's approach of going, no, you shouldn't have won it. So I'm going to give you a point, Shappy, and let you carry on, because I want to know what your argument was that you should have won. You have 23 seconds, starting now.
The argument I should have won was when I was 8 years old, our hamster died. I argued we should bury it. My brother, my twin, argued that.
That was Julian interrupting there. Yes, Julian?
Yes, it was my followed by my, which I think you'll find is repetition.
Yeah, and also I panicked. Am I allowed to challenge myself on that? Because I really mucked that up so
well. Well, that would be the argument you would have lost.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you would have been able to if Julian hadn't beaten you to it. So it's over to you, Julian. You have 13 seconds on the argument I should have won, starting now.
I had a terrible argument which I lost with my editor recently about a book I've written about my life, which is coming out shortly. A sequel, in fact, to A Young Man's Passage called Further Up in That Direction. And it's about my story.
And Julian was speaking as the whistle went, so that's a point for you. So, well done there, Julian. And Julian is in the lead with 6.
Surprise.
Well done. Giles and Tony have 3. Shappy, you're not that far behind. You've got 2.
Oh, wow, that's okay. Not bad.
So, you know.
Good, 2 points for me. Great.
So, Tony, we're back with you, and the subject on the card is breakfast in bed. Very popular activity. Sunday lunch in bed never caught on, though, did it? Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on breakfast in bed? Your time starts now.
Breakfast in bed is not as good as on a plate, that's for sure. It gets all over the sheets and very messy it is too. But it is a wonderful treat and doesn't happen enough in my life. I don't know who I should see about this. I have no twin brother who can come and bring it to me. Children, well, they're not interested in that sort of thing. So the best thing for me to do is go.
And that was Julian there.
Repetition of thing.
Yep, I did.
Mm. I'd like to thank you, Julian. That was like an animal being put out of its misery.
That's what I thought.
Bless you, Tony.
Yes. It's amazing after about 10 seconds how you can run out of anything meaningful today.
Can I just say that's my life? So that's a point for you, Julian. And you march ever onwards with 34 seconds to tell us about breakfast in bed. Your time starts now.
Sounds like a good idea, breakfast in bed, but the reality is crumbs down your jacksie and spilt orange juice on your duvet. I don't think I hold with it any more than I like having tea on my lap. Breakfast in bed. I suppose if you were Noel Coward and someone was carrying it in on a tray and there was champagne and all the trimmings, perhaps a sausage or two to get you through the day, then you might enjoy it. But I'm talking about my dreary life with my miserable husband who would no more bring me breakfast.
So, Julian was speaking when the whistle went there, so well done, Julian. That's a point to you.
Thank you.
We'll come back to you straight away.
Again.
Yes, indeed. So, can you speak on dropping a clanger? You have 60 seconds and your time starts now.
Dropping a clanger would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, if you were one of the clangers that...
Hesitation, alas.
I know, yes, but do you know where I was going with that? Who were the clangers?
I'll tell you, if I get a chance.
I was thinking Wombles, then I thought, no, clangers.
Yes,
and,
same generation, same sort of thing.
If only I'd had if you were allowed a little pause to think, this, I'd have been off and away.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Giles is going to tell us about that.
So, Giles, you have a point there for interrupting correctly. So, off you go with dropping a clanger.
Indeed, I can tell you about the clangers because they were created by Oliver Postgate and Peter Firmin. They were children's characters on television a generation or two ago.
That was Tony there.
Deviation.
Interrupted.
The subject is dropping a clanger.
And I'm going to explain how.
And he hasn't yet got to that. And I feel, and I think we all feel in the room, that he should have got to it by this point.
Excuse me.
I feel Joe is going to rule with me on this one. Joe?
Well, you're totally wrong.
That's an argument you should have won.
Yes.
Giles has only been speaking for 9 seconds.
Yeah,
I think we'll
enough.
Give him a little bit
all right,
leeway.
All right,
okay. So, Giles, point for that and carry on with dropping a clanger. Starting now.
The clanger I dropped was Major Clanger. It was in the year 1972 when Mother Clanger had been stolen.
So that's Julian there.
Well, it's a repetition of 19 from when you were talking earlier about when the clangers were invented.
Oh. No, I said a generation or two ago.
Right at the beginning, you gave us dates, didn't you?
No, that was in another subject.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It was when you interrupted me about the clangers.
No, replay.
Well, hey, Giles, we don't need to worry because Joe's bound to know.
Oh, indeed. You're absolutely right.
Sorry, who are you? Okay, so, yes, Julian, my memory, if it serves me right, gives you the benefit of the doubt there.
I'm marvellous, aren't you?
So,
clever.
Julian, you have 36 seconds to carry on with dropping a clanger. Your time starts now.
Dropping a clanger is when you say something regrettable. If I looked over to Giles and said, who does your hair for you? Is it the council? That would be an embarrassment. A clanger had been dropped there.
And that was Tony there.
That isn't a clanger. They do his hair.
Just say, I'm going to leave the subject with you and I'm going to give you a point for an amusing interjection.
I think you're right.
Julian, back to you. You have 23 seconds left on dropping a clanger, starting now.
Should I glance at Tony and say, shriek, what hairy arms you are sporting? This could be a clanger if he had a disease called hirsutitis, where hair was growing out of...
And that was Tony.
Repetition of hair.
Yeah.
Earlier he said to Giles, you know, who does your hair? Is it the council? And he's just said it again now.
I did. Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
You should work for MI5. Anyway.
Hey, wouldn't have him. He doesn't know the difference between M and G. You've got to know who your boss is.
I think you'll find that was an argument I should have won.
Yes, all right, you get a point for that. So you have 11 seconds left on dropping a clanger, starting now.
A clanger you really don't want to drop is to mistake me for Tony Hawk the skateboarder. And yet this does happen a great deal in my life. I'm asked how to do a 900 or an ollie.
And that was Tony speaking as the whistle went. So that's a point to you, Tony. And moving on, Shappy, it's your go.
Okay.
And here's a treat we're all looking forward to, many of us possibly with dread this year, a British seaside holiday. Make of it what you will in 60 seconds, Shappy. Your time starts now.
There is nothing finer than a British seaside holiday. The creased up, blistering skin of passers-by. My favourite place to go isn't Brighton or any other seaside town on the mainland. It is on the Isle of Wight, UK's best kept secret. The seaside holidays I've had in Ryde, Ventnor...
That's Giles there interrupting.
2,300,000 visitors in the last year before lockdown. It's not a best kept secret, it's well known.
It's also a dump. I can't stand it. Oh, I loathe it.
Where have you been? Where have you been on the Isle of Wight that you've loathed?
Everywhere. I've got an aunt. I spent all my summer holidays on the Isle of Wight, and you always feel like you're going to fall off the edge.
Now, Giles, I question where you get your figures from for that.
The Isle of Wight tourist board.
How come?
Because I love the Isle of Wight.
Oh.
I adore going there. Ride. Needles that you can't.
I think Giles did an after dinner speech for the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
If you love it so much, why don't you live on the Isle of Wight?
Oh, thank you very much. And the Isle of Wight ferry, the joy of getting over to the Isle of Wight on that lovely hovercraft. Oh, the excitement. The Isle of Wight literally.
He hasn't even got the subject.
No, I know.
Still,
please. Some decorum. So, Giles, as much as I'd like to give it to you, I feel very disturbed by the fact that you have been studying the tourist figures for the Isle of Wight. So, on this occasion, I'm not going to. So, Shappy, back to you briefly for a British seaside holiday. You have 41 seconds. Go.
I do love a pebbly beach on a British seaside holiday.
That was Julian.
Repetition of beach.
Yes. It's very hard not to say in a seaside holiday. Very hard.
It is indeed. Okay, so it's yours, Julian. Tell us what you know for 37 seconds on a British seaside holiday. Starting now.
Oh, have you ever had a blow on the front in Brighton? You can't beat it. It is the best part about a British seaside holiday. I tried going to Chatham and there's no beach there, so that doesn't count. But a British seaside holiday, you can get frankenfurters and you...
Giles, you interrupted that.
Hesitation. His own mind was boggling at what he was going to say next.
Oh, I was just sort of varying the pace of how I spoke, I thought.
Also, you said you can get frankenfurters. Possibly mean...
Savaloys.
No, frankfurters would have done, but frankenfurter is a character in the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, well, off and on in seaside places, that show.
Yeah, so point to you, Giles, and 18 seconds with a British seaside holiday, starting now.
The British seaside holiday is the greatest institution in the world. Broadstairs on the Isle of Thanet is my favourite place in the south, but when we move north, it is to Morecambe that I wish to go, where Eric of that name comes from, and there is a statue of the great man on the front. I adore the British seaside holiday. There is no better...
So that was Giles who was speaking when the whistle went. So that's another point to you, Giles. And we come to our final round. This starts with you, Giles. Start us off on asparagus, the pointy produce of poshness in my book. Tell us what you know. Your time starts now.
Asparagus. A recent survey of the childhood nicknames that mothers give to their little boys' private parts reveals that Winkle, Tiddles, Johnny Up to No Good are the top three, but asparagus is in there at number 9, which rather amused me. People talk about animals.
That was Julian who buzzed in there.
Repetition of number.
Ooh.
We had number 3 and number 9.
Ooh.
Yes. You going to argue about that?
No.
all right, Julian, I'll give you that. And you have 39 seconds with asparagus. Your time starts now.
Asparagus was discovered in Morocco in 1738 by someone called Giorgio, who put it in his mouth and thought, this is delicious. Arrived.
That was Tony who buzzed in there. Yes, Tony?
Oh, he just hesitated, didn't he? He was going so well, but he did hesitate.
Again, he was thinking about what was just about...
No, it's always a mistake to think.
Okay, correct challenge. One point to you, Tony, and you have 28 seconds starting now.
I am a huge fan of the nickname asparagus for somebody's willy. I believe it should be higher than number 9. Perhaps 4, 5, 6, some of the other ones that I mentioned would be ideal for it, but it's such a delightful vegetable to eat, especially when it's fresh. 40 minutes after it's picked, fry it gently. It is the most marvellous way to spend a summer on.
That was Tony speaking at the end of that round. So that is a point to you, Tony. And that was your final round, folks. So let's see where the scores are. In fourth place, I'm so sorry to say, that's you, Shappy, with 3 points.
I'm comfortable here. It's where I belong.
In third place, it's Giles with 7 points. Second place, we have Tony on 8 points. And this week's winner with 11 points is Julian. Woo! Yay! And there, I'm afraid, we have to leave you. On behalf of all the team, Tony Hawkes, Julian Clary, Shappy Korsandi and Giles Brandreth, we would also like to thank Ian Messiter, who devised this great game, and Nicholas Parsons, who curated it for many years. We thank Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so forcefully, and our producer, Victoria Lloyd, who didn't. It was a BBC Studios production. This is Joe Brand saying thanks for listening. I'm off to make some jelly, but do join us again when we play Just a Minute. Goodbye. Yay!